been sowing and investing, this year you begin to see the outcomes. This is more like a year of rewards. A year of rewards. That is the effect of your invest or your efforts sown so far will begin to be tangible and manifest. There will be rewards in the earth in this year. Many people who have been faithful and have been investing silently in tears and have been waiting on God and for the Lord to perform His good counsel on their lives and concerning their lives, many of them will be walking in the reality of their inheritance is being given to them. Because you will not travail forever, you will not be sowing forever. The Bible says that he that goeth forth weeping and bearing forth precious seeds will doubtless come again, bringing in his sheaves with him. The sheaves literally are what we bring from the harvest. When you can see in the Hebrew world and in the Jewish world, then there are produce and crops that are stacked up in piles, bringing back the sheaves. The sheaves are the reward of that which is sown. This year is going to be a year of reward. So many things that have been put in place and you have been sowing and investing, it's as if this year God will come to crown it. So there will be reward in this year. There will be testimonies in this year, evidences of effort and work and impute. And I really hope for your own good, you've got some seed you have been sowing all this while. I really hope for your own good. So this year is a year of evidence, gifts for what you have done, packages for of rewards for service. It's going to be evidential, it's going to be undeniable, and it's going to be open so that it will be clear to you and the people around you that this reward and this and that we are seeing is the evidence of this man's effort. Jesus Christ said, "Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly." Many of us here, God will give you evidences openly. People will be aware. Even if you try to hide it, you will not succeed, because the design of it is for people, for it to be open. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. I pray for as many that are joined to this broadcast live and as many that will return to get the podcast, that this rewards that has been proposed in the earth in these days, yours will not elude you. That you will surely, and as the scripture says, doubtless, surely be visited with your evidence. Your evidence. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me try to go through some of the things that we have proposed to say, because I sense the operation of prophetic words already coming up, and I'm sensing the unveilings already going on, because we could now proceed to begin to speak out of revelation already. So I think it's better, let's clear the way so that that will come at the tail end or in between. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the Hebrew, I want to start by letting us know something. In the Hebrew world, there's a feast called the Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah is a feast of the Hebrew, or the Jewish people in particular, that they celebrate every year once. The word Rosh Hashanah translates literally the head of the year. The word Rosh, R-O-S-H, that's a transliteration in English, R-O-S-H, Rosh, is the word for head. When God said to the people in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, "You shall be the head and not the tail," he actually, in Hebrew, he said to them that you shall be the Rosh. So So the rush has to do with the head, the chief, the principal, the principality, the beginning. So the Rosh Hashanah talks about the beginning of the year, but literally it means the head of the year, the top. And the Rosh Hashanah is celebrated sometime in September, because the Jewish people have their own calendar. Hallelujah. Sorry for that breaking transmission. The Jewish people have their own calendar. We are using the Gregorian system, and when we follow the solar calendar, the solar dynamics. But the Jewish calendar is based on the lunar system, which has to do with the moon. And the Jewish cycle of years doesn't begin in January the way ours begins. The Jewish New Year starts sometime in September, and I'm going to get to that. Now, also in the Jewish tradition, they have a couple of instances of the New Year. There is a New Year that begins in September, and then there's another New Year that begins in April and March. Remember in the book of Exodus, God said to Moses, he said, this month shall be the beginning of months to you. That is Nisan. And that is why you see your Easter celebration always falls within March or April. That's because that's where the Hebrew calendar begins its first month, and Passover occurred then. That was about the same time when the Lord was crucified. That's one aspect of the New Year. Then there is another New Year celebration that increases the year, which is the one they celebrate in September. And that one is celebrated by the blowing of trumpets. So somebody's like, how do they have so many New Years? It's because of purpose. Because they have the traditional calendar also, and they have the civil calendar. It's almost like the same thing where we have the yearly calendar, but at the same time we have the academic calendar. And we know that a new calendar begins in September for secondary schools. But it's not like that with universities. Each university has their new year. The new year in university is when the first semester starts again. So that's that kind of arrangement with the Jewish people. There's one kind of new year that increases the number of the years. There's another one that marks the traditional system where they celebrate, like the one in Nisan where Passover begins, that has to do with the months. So don't get it mixed up. But my point is this: when during the Rosh Hashanah they blow the trumpets, that's part of the ritual or the liturgy, if I use that word, of that celebration. They blow the trumpet for the new year. And that mystery was instituted by God in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. Because God instituted all the feasts of the Jewish people, majority of them from scriptures, while some eventually developed over history, like the Hanukkah, the feast of lamps, where they light lamps. And one of those feasts, God instituted was the Feast of Trumpets, which happened in the seventh month on the first day. In that month they blew the trumpets, the trumpet of memorial. Now that is so important, and that's what we are here to do, because the Jewish people blow that trumpet on the new year, and there are people, or there is the significance of blowing that trumpet on the new year. As a matter of fact, the trumpet is to be blown on the new year because the trumpet is used to announce the season. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 83 verse 4 to 5, it says, blow ye the trumpet on the new moon and on the time of our solemn feasts. That is, the trumpet should be used to announce that a new season has begun. That is why in that feast, or the Tereshmont, on the first day, they do the ritual of blowing the trumpets to announce that the season has changed and we have come into a new season. And the trumpet is significant because it resonates with the diamond, with heaven, and heaven bears witness to it. Mind you, the architecture of the trumpet was designed, it was God that said to Moses, if you read Numbers chapter 10, he said, make for yourself two silver trumpets. Now take a ram's horn. So he was the architect and the author of this in the earth. And even up till this present day, the Hebrew people still blow that trumpet. And not just the Hebrew people, even within contemporary times, some kinds of people that are into some kinds of ministries, prophetic ministries, and about depths of understanding, some of them who own the Hebrew rams, they have the Hebrew rams on as part of their spiritual tool, and from time to time they blow it even in their meetings. I'm very sure just somebody or what number of us have been in meetings like that where trumpet was blown. So the Rosh Hashanah, at that period, they blow the trumpet. And this is so important because they are not just trying to blow up for just any reason. God is a God of objectivity, intentionality, purpose, and design. So God instituting it in the earth, he can't just bring all these people and say, be doing this, like, let's waste their time in this place. No, there is a purpose. And that purpose will be seen in the significance of what the trumpet is, or the signification of blowing trumpets in the context of divine things. Quite a number of them, and I will just basically highlight one or two that will be relevant for what we are talking about tonight. And one of them, which is the announcing of seasons. The trumpet is used to announce that we are in the midst of a new season. A new season has begun. A new season has begun. Something new is starting. Heaven bear witness. Let the earth be aware. We are in a new season. Something new has begun. That's one of it. And then the other part of it is for the convocations of assemblies. That is announcing to the people of God and reminding them that we are people of God, and there's also a need for us to be before God. That is why they also call it a memorial of blowing a feast and a memorial of trumpets. What the Hebrew call is the zikron, a memorial. So it reminds them of something, and I'm going to get to that. It reminds them of something when they blow that trumpet. So it's for the announcing of new season. It serves the function of the convocation of assemblies, and even importantly, as a memorial, something that reminds them. And this is where I'm going to hinge majorly this portion of what I'm saying, so that I'll move on to the next. When God decided to meet with the Hebrews, because when God encountered Moses in Exodus chapter 3, and he was sending Moses on his assignment, he said to him, this will be a sign to you that when you are done, you will worship God on this mountain, which is Horeb. Right? And Moses went in the might of God, and by his grace, he was able to bring God's people out of Egypt. Now, when they got out of Egypt and they came to Horeb or Sinai, where God had said that they will worship him, they held a feast according to that and gathered before him. Notice what happened. When God came, the day when God was going to come down on the mountain, the Bible says, and there was a long blast of the trumpet. Do you see that? The trumpet was what was used to announce the entrance of God, or a glorious procession of the God, the whole earth, into the earth. I mean, for the very first time, And even Moses had to re-emphasize it to the people. The God of heaven, the King of Kings, made himself manifest tangibly in the physical world, not just to one individual, like we have heard and read about other people and have experienced personally, but to a whole congregation numbering in millions. And they said there was a long blast of the trumpet, Maka. That trumpet was joined to the presence of God and to the operation of the divine thing and the communication of God. And he said the trumpet sounded long, it was loud, everywhere was filled with the terror of God and his awe. He saw the people feared. He said that when the trumpet sounded long, and afterwards God called Moses. So you see that that trumpet came forth in the glory of God, and it was part of the procession of God. It was linked to several mysteries in God, in God's kingdom, in God's revelation, in his divine things. Let me use that phrase a lot, because it's just a lot of it's a suitcase that carries so many things that we can't begin to outline. So let's just package it and call them divine things. Now let me now move us further, because we are trying to meet up. But pay attention here. In the book of John, Revelation chapter 1, the Bible, the prophet John began to speak, and he was writing and telling of his encounter. He said he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a voice. Right? As of what? Do you remember the adjective he used to describe the voice? He said as of a trumpet. Revelation chapter 1, and let's read that very quickly. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet. The only way, and you know, John is trying to be accurate here, because he's trying to see, the figure of speech, simile, where we derive from the word similar, or the word is similar is derived from it, whichever is preeminent. The prophet John is trying to juxtapose it in such a way that we'll be able to relate with his vision, even though we are not there to see it with him, but with a level of skill and attention, if we are paying correctly, we'll be able to relate with what he's saying. He said that the voice was sounding like a trumpet. I mean, he could have said anything. If it was sounding like thunder, he would have known, because if you go further in the book, you will see where he was writing that there were thunders around the throne. And even when seven thunders spoke, and he couldn't understand what the seven thunders were saying. But rather, the prophet John would rather go on to say that the voice I heard behind me was talking to me like the voice of a trumpet. Like he heard it as though a trumpet spoke. And guess what? In chapter 4, and mind you, that voice like a trumpet began to speak to him. It began to speak to him about the seven churches and began to unveil mysteries to him all the way to the end of the third chapter, giving him directions and insight and discernment into the shape of the churches and all manner of mysteries. Because first of all, a trumpet was speaking to him. And it was a new season, which John would later begin to realize, because these were mysteries that were going to be unveiled in the beginning of the age when his appearing was drawing nearer. It was a Rosh Hashanah of the Spirit, a new season, ahead of the year. And in chapter 4, he said, and he said he beheld a door open in heaven, and he looked, and the voice which he heard from the beginning as of a trumpet said to him, come up hither. What I'm trying to point out to you is that that trumpet is also the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And that trumpet also is the sound of invitation to see the mysteries that are about to play out. Because the voice said to him, come up hither, and I will show you the things that will be hereafter. The Rosh Hashanah, where they blow the trumpet, is the period where these kinds of mysteries are being played, where the voice of the Lord Jesus comes as of a trumpet, and then there is the opening of the previews or the cutting of the veil of heaven for you to be able to see visions, to see what shall be. It begins with the blowing of the trumpet. That is why when the trumpet is blown, it comes with an anointing. And that's why you see the trumpet, most of the times, its counterpart or works hand in hand with people, prophetic people, and people who are priests and guardians of mysteries. Because when that trumpet is blown, something happens. The Bible says, and when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and then he blew his trumpet. Do you remember that in the book of Judges? The Spirit came, he blew. Something happened about him. When that trumpet is sounded, there is a pattern for you to see. The voice said to him, come. He heard the voice behind him like a trumpet. The trumpet began to speak. And the trumpet, that same voice, invited him. So, this speaking all together is an encounter with that trumpet. Because in the eyes of any other person there, if he's not having discernment, what he will hear is the sound of trumpets. But the one who has the apostolic grace of God will discern that actually that trumpet is saying something intelligible that can be understood. Maybe you are here listening in English language, but actually you are hearing the voice of a trumpet that is speaking to you at the head of the year, the Rosh Hashanah. And maybe there may be times where when people might do religion and just end up blowing trumpet, but the real people who understand this thing knows that it's not just about when these trumpets are blown, encounters are also supposed to follow. Hence, God will not just institute religious things in the earth without divine significance and purpose. And that is why in the Rosh Hashanah, or during the Rosh Hashanah, there is the sound of the trumpet. It's so that the season is announced, and then the voice of the Lord Jesus speaking is to his church will be heard. When John saw that vision, the first thing he had encountered was the trumpet speaking to him. Tonight, you are hearing the voice of the trumpet. And you'll not be hearing in sounds of Hebrew rams, but that is the mystery you are being brought to. That is why here at the Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year 2023, we are about to sound the trumpet. And the trumpet is being sounded already, not just we are about to, because it's in levels. The trumpet is being sounded already. And as news is being declared, you will see mysteries. And that's why you are going to now see the things that shall be hereafter. Because you have passed through these gates of being baptized into the news, the sound of the trumpet. You shall now hear and see the mysteries of the trumpet. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. Let's give God praise. Let's glorify him and worship him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. We'll talk and speak just for the time we have left on what we said is the theme of the broadcast, the eagle's wings. The eagle's wings. Celebre meke subrama taka sebre teke suze alash. Iboborotakis prahnika sikle breno kusia. Teremeni sokurundu bruho de kuske prakataka de brekezos. Sin de brohanamash kute de brekedia. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Now, as you are hearing and listening to what we are saying, pay very close attention and receive it, because right now we are speaking through the mysteries of that trumpet. And when we say that, you remember what we have just said, let's not begin to say it over and say it all over again, but that he speaks to you to show you the things that shall be. John said, I heard the first voice that spoke to me, that same voice that is like trumpet, the voice that said, come up and I will show you the things that will be. So the door in heaven is about to be opened so that you will look through, because when that door opened, John looked through and went through it, and that's when he saw mysteries. For the first time in John's life, John was able to see the throne of God. I realize that the throne of God is not just the God sitting on the throne, but there can also be, and there was at that time, 24 other thrones around his throne. For the first time in his life ever, John realized that there were also 24 governing council powers of heaven, and that in the midst of these powers, there were also some other dimensions of creations that were custodians, that were resident in God's glory. He would never ever be able to understand that kind of thing unless that door had opened. And when he saw them, he called them beasts. He said they were living creatures. So, I want us to pay attention. The eagle's wings. We have spoken before time that, now this, we have said that, and we are going to say that this generation is a generation that we run with mysteries. In the last meeting that we had, we spoke on the second day and said that there should be, that it has been ordained that there should be great attention and regard for the prophetic ministry. And I had to say that day to tell you that the prophetic ministry is not what most people understand it to be, which is the telling of, you know, all those kinds of operations. But principally, the prophetic ministry is concerned with the custodianship, the stewardship, and the making known of divine purpose. The prophet is a servant of God, not the servant of the people. I say it again. A prophet is a servant of God, not the servant of the people. The prophet ministry is very close to God. His prophet's ministry is God-centered. Of course, all ministries are God-centered, but when you talk about the ministry of being a pastor, you know you shepherd the flock. You are very concerned about the sheep. That's why I see there are some pastors that can be pastoring for years and without having even been in touch with God so much, and they'll be pastoring. But you can't be a prophet and not be in touch with God, because your life, the entirety of your calling is dependent on that stream, on that life. A prophet is of God. A pastor is set for the people. A prophet is God's man. That's why you see that the first phrase, man of God, is actually used to refer to a prophet. As a matter of fact, it was prophets that were referred to as men of God or man of God. Many of us have not taken time to notice that the phrase man of God is not even very correct if you want to analyze it in terms of English. Because you can say, if I want to say this book belongs to John, I will say John's book. I won't say book John. So you are supposed to say God's man. Or we can say book of John. Where is phone of Mary? Or what? Dress of Mary. You have to say Mary's dress, John's phone. But instead of saying God's man, they say man of God. They don't care about your grammatical laws in English. They are trying to communicate the essence. I said in 2019 that the prophetic does not strive to be intellectually accurate. It seeks to be spiritually precise. And that is the objective of the prophetic, spiritual precision over and above intellectual accuracy. So they don't care about your grammatical laws, but as far as the message is passed accurately. Paul said, remember, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We will compare the English language for as long as it is corresponding with the spiritual mystery. Whatever damage was done to the lingua is It's an acceptable loss on the part of the linguistic journey, or how, whatever I put it. So use the prophets were the ones that were referred to as men of God, because this will belong to God. That was what they were trying to say. And I'll say it again, that the ministry of the prophet is God's. God is leaned towards God. Is God leaned? Or there's a word, there's a phrase. Is Godish, or it tends towards God the more. The pastor, like I said, is set over the people. And people can be pastoring and pray once and pray for the people, unless it's, you know, be concerned for the people. But people, there are people that go on pastoring with little relationship with God. They pray a little, study a little, but they're also doing a lot of prayer work. And some of them go on like that. But the prophet can't do like that, because he can only serve the people after he has met with God. For as he is only relevant to the people as much as he is active in the presence of God. So they are calling the prophets people, that men that belong to God. That's where the phrase man of God came from. So when you say somebody is a man of God, it's not because he carries a Bible. Is he really a man of God? Does he belong to God? Is he God's person? And that's why God will own them so much, so that in the case of Ezekiel, God will make him dumb. He won't be mute. He won't be able to speak until God is ready to speak. That's how much God possessed him. So that's, I'm trying to make you see the prophet ministry. And these prophets were people that were custodians of God. They belonged to God. And when God had them, God knew, God would be able to do whatever he wants to do in the earth, because they were God's channel in the earth and God's agent. If what we understand by prophetic ministry, or what some people understand by prophetic ministry, if we go by that, some people will not be able to agree with God when he said that Abraham was a prophet. Because God said to Abimelech, he said, go and ask him to pray for you, because the man is a prophet. Going by some people's standard and understanding, they will not agree that Abraham is a prophet. Because, for obvious reasons, Abraham doesn't meet their mark. So, but be that aside, and we've already talked about that in the previous meeting, that the prophetic ministry must be given attention and regard heavily, because the purposes of God are unveiled inside of it. You know, in 2018 to 19, thereabout, or sometime about, I'll try to fish it out. I began to see the prophetic destinies. And God made it known to me that when a group of people have destiny in God, he showed me how they enter into the destiny. And that was one of the most revolutionary insight and insight I ever I would ever get, because of how much it made me understand certain things, and it made me to be able to posture myself. You know, you won't be productive when you do everything. You'll be productive when you do the things you ought to do. And it's in your best interest to do only what you ought to do, not everything, because if you do everything, you'll be wearied. So that helped me to be able to know what is important and what is not necessary, and what I can do that will help me to secure the rest without having to outrightly address all of them. And God showed me that word when people enter into destiny. He showed me that vision through the life of Saul. Saul was just one folk like that. And one day the sheep lost. His dad's flocks, they wandered and didn't return. So they sent him. Now, mind you, it was the flocks that went missing. Now, the scripture then tells us that God told Samuel that I'm going to send you a man. But if you read from Saul's angle the story, you realize that he didn't hear God. The only thing that happened to him was that the flocks were missing, which meant that God orchestrated that kind of event. Now, and I'm just pay attention, I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm showing you now a mystery that changed my life. So, but you see, Saul had a destiny that he was very alien from. Just like some of you, where you are presently, you are not anywhere near who you would be. As a matter of fact, you are so different from it that when you eventually become it, you'll be amazed at the person you are. That there is a world of difference between who you are now and who you are going to be or who you are meant to be. Because Saul didn't know anything about kingship. As a matter of fact, I don't think he was aware that the elders had met the prophet that they needed a king. Because that meeting was held in council. It wasn't a public square meeting. It was a private meeting that the elders of the land met with the prophet. So there's a great chance that he was not aware, because such a thing was a secret thing. There may be speculations, whatever, the scripture doesn't tell, but from the information we had available and from the arrangement that is in place, we can know that, or we can what? We can say that, and we won't be wrong if we say that. But you will see that, so he was a man alien to whatever was coming his way. He was not anywhere near king. It didn't cross his mind. He was not even smelling the place. He was far from it. There was a world of difference between him and being a king. Because he was from the smallest tribe. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin is the last son, the last of the tribes of Israel. And there were the power force, people like Judah, that they had already prophesied, that the patriarch had prophesied. So he's not even in his equation, because even if God's there looking for a king, they won't go and start from Benjamin. The prophecy has clearly stated that it's Judah. But then a destiny awaited him. Now, for him to enter that destiny, he had to be brought through a place where he can encounter prophetic ministry. And mind you, when he met with the prophet, he didn't automatically enter the destiny. He had a feast with the prophet and spent a night with him. And then the day when he was about to leave, in chapter 9, at the ending, the prophet said to him, "Ask your servants to go. Why you say?" Then the prophet used these words that I'm about to quote. He said, "As for this, stand here, that I may show to you the word of God." That alone just drew me inside the mysteries. It was in showing him the word of God that he entered his destiny. So he encountered the prophet, but not just the prophet, he was brought to experience the ministry that the prophet carried. And because there was a word of God for him, he entered that destiny. He said, "Stand that I may show you the word of God." And then he began to prophesy to him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" He took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and began to prophesy. He said, "This day, when you go from here, you shall see two men." And then he just opened up a whole mystery. And then during the course of the prophecy, I could repeat the prophecy for you, but all of us know that story. I'm going to just draw out some points. Then he said to him that, he said, "When you come to the garrison of the Philistine, the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistine is, you shall meet a band of prophets coming down." He said, "When you meet with them, you shall also prophesy. You shall be turned into..." His world just changed. Do you know, it was so obvious that he wasn't ready for what was coming to him, that on the day he was to be anointed, he went and hid himself. They had to go and look for him. That is when something bigger than you comes to you. That you are just an ordinary person, and then they say, "You come and be manager of a company that has branches scattered all over Nigeria." Say, "Come and head a whole branch of a state." And you are just graduating from school. You have never even worked anywhere, no work experience. You don't even know what management is all about. His own was to be king over a whole nation that had 12 tribes and that had a very unbelievable history of conquering things. That kind of huge, like they say, come and be president of the US. But you see, in 2019, God showed me that. He said, you must enter through the prophetic to enter your destiny. It's not like you will meet a prophet. Because me, I didn't, it wasn't a prophet as a person I met. But I entered through the prophetic that was available through scriptures. The warehouse, the sea, the foundation of all the prophetics. Where the word of God dwells. That, as Saul entered through that gate, in seeing that thing, me too, I entered through the gate of that understanding, which now set me forth to say, hey, this destiny is dear in God, but I have to be entering it through the prophetic ministry. So, which was the reason why, and then we started going through deeper more into the word to find what the prophecies were saying, so that when he enters us as light, we enter into the gates, enter into the prophecy, enter into the mystery, enter into the arrangement, enter into the purpose. So God gave us that word early 2019. You must enter through the prophetic ministry. The destiny of God for you, you enter it through the prophetic. The word must be made known to you. Stand, I will show you the word of God. So that's why when we emphasize the word of God, we are not trying to so that you can be biblically, scripturally adept. It's good. But we are trying to make you know that to enter your destiny, you can't escape the word of God. And one very anointed man of God had already said, when he was teaching, he highlighted the four pillars, or one of those pillars that you must encounter to make destiny. He said, he listed it and said, one of them is the prophetic ministry. Not prophet per se, because it's not a prophet. It's not the prophet that is important. It's the ministry it carries. And even if you meet a prophet and you don't experience the prophetic ministry, it still doesn't change. Some of you have been rubbing shoulders with prophet, but because you didn't recognize the prophet, the ministry he carries, it won't profit you. That's why Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will get the reward of a prophet. And that reward is what he carries. So you can also experience the prophetic even without the prophet in quotes, dear, because the word of God is the sure word of prophecy. So God began to make those things known those years. He revolutionized us to see that this is how we enter destiny. We must know the word. The word must be made known to us. The word must be made known to us. The word must be made known to us. Saul said, I will show you the word. The word must be made known to us. The word must be made known to us. And we began to seek this ministry of the prophets. Not the man, just get it. Is the word of God that is the ministry of the prophetic. The word. This generation must give regard to the prophetic if they are to enter into their destiny. Because you see, all the things that will be, they have been revealed inside the prophets. And that prophet I'm talking about, I'm not talking about just one individual, I'm talking about a whole system, which is the word of God. It's the word of God I'm calling. And that is why, henceforth, this generation will only ride on the wings of eagles. And that is what I'm about to show us. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 to 6. Exodus 19:3-6 says, God was speaking to the people of Israel. He said that, ye see what I have done to the Egyptians. Alright, let's start from verse 1. Okay, let's start from verse 4, because in verse 1 shows where Moses went up to the mountain. how that God encountered them and all that. So let's start from verse 3. And Moses went up to God. That's Exodus 19:3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Hallelujah. Now, people interpret the prophetic and said the eagle in prophetic symbolisms and said that the eagle is the prophetic ministry. Well, that is true. But from the way I see it, it's not entirely true. I see that the eagle actually is the prophet. And that's the way it is. It is the wings of the eagle that is the prophetic ministry. This generation henceforth will be rising on that wings of eagles, because the eagle, we'll talk about the eagle shortly. God said to the people, he said, "I carried you on the wings of eagles to myself." It was Moses' ministry he was talking about. He didn't carry them because of Moses exactly, because talking about Moses, we are referring to Moses as himself, but rather he carried them on what was possible through Moses by the virtue of his role in God, of his duty and function in God, of his ministry. Because God said, "Come, I will send you." When he went there, he said, "The God of your fathers have sent me." He began to tell them the message of God and went to the principality Pharaoh and gave him the message. Do you realize and know that that principality that is holding your family line is waiting for one prophet to come and tell him the word of the Lord? Is waiting for one prophet to come and tell her the word of the Lord. There are people that are held down in a lineage, a whole community held down, a whole nation held down. They have prayed and cried and groaned and all that, but nothing changes. That situation is awaiting a prophetic ministry to come and say to it, "This is what the Lord says." Do you see that? So it was through what was possible through Moses that God accomplished his works in the lives of the Israelites. And in Egypt, he, by those mysteries of the science of the prophetic ministry, which are wonders, by many terrible judgments, and by the eventual slaying of the firstborns by the prophetic decrees, and the sparing of the sons of Egypt by the prophetic mysteries of the blood and of the Passover lamb, and by the prophetic authority of parting the sea and submerging the army of Egypt inside them, and carrying them by prophetic discernment to hear the voice of God to say, "Go through the wilderness and take this part." He brought them to himself, because God was waiting for them on that mountain called Horeb. Because he had already told the prophet, saying that when you come out, this will be a sign to you that you shall worship me on this mountain. He said, "Have you seen how I bore you on eagle's wings to myself?" This generation will be people that will be riding on the wings of eagles. And by that eagle's wings, riding on eagle's wings, by that we mean the demonstration of the reality and the ministry that is available through prophetic ordinations, through the ordination that is, that God has established through prophetic means. And let me tell you, a prophetic cannot be replaced, even if an apostle can still do prophetic work, but it will be known it is a prophetic work. That is why you see the structure of the scriptures. This generation, don't say, "I want to go up, it's my season." You will not take off like that. If you will not hear, you will not be established. God said in the book of Isaiah, he said, "If they do not speak according to this truth, there is no light in them. He said, they will not hear. He said, if you will ask a sign, when he was speaking about the virgin and all that, he said, if you will not hear, you won't be established. That's Isaiah chapter 7. So that prophetic wings is what will carry you across all the hurdles. Because Pharaoh said, I won't let them go. But the ministry still spoke. He said, let the people go. Let my son go. Let him go and serve me. He was speaking through the prophetic ministry, because God will speak through the prophetic. And when God speaks to your heart, it may be an instruction. But when God speaks through the prophetic, it becomes a government. It becomes an ordination. It becomes an authority. It becomes a decree. So when Moses said, he said, let my people go, it wasn't a plea or a diplomatic expression. It was a divine injunction. The authority of God was being revealed through the prophetic, because the government of Philip.
Does it not surprise you that the scriptural canon, the last book of the Bible, is written purely in prophetic language? I mean, the man is an apostle, but he had to serve prophetic purpose. So the first book of the Bible was written by a prophet. The last book was written through a prophet. What does it say to you? The Alpha and the Omega is structured inside the prophetic government, the Word of God.
The generations will ride on eagle's wings. And see it, we are seeing it. There are words going on. When the prophecies go on, you hinge yourself and yield to it, so that you can enter it. Saul entered his destiny when he saw the Word of God. Samuel said, stand here, let me show thee the Word of God. Let me show to you. It's something you see. And you entered it. Many of us are just laundering around, just going in circles, because we have not seen any great light. The Bible says that the people that sat in darkness, they saw in great light. You have not seen any great light. You don't even know who you are. You don't understand yourself. You don't have a sense of your purpose. You don't have a sense of your identity. It's because you have been hearing preaching and sermon. You have not yet, the prophetic word has not yet come to you. Because once it comes to you, it changes you. It changes your level. It just dramatically, it stands you up. Like Ezekiel said, when he spoke to me, the word set me up my feet. Let me tell you, the major difference between a prophetic word is that a prophetic and just a preaching and a sermon and an advice is that a prophetic word is a living being. Oh my God. A prophetic word is alive. When it enters into you, it becomes alive and begins to operate itself. That's why they had to say that. What happened to Saul? Samuel told him and explained to him what happened to him. See, you become another man. It's another man you will be turned into. When the prophetic word comes into you, it becomes alive. It begins to live its life through you. It changes things about you. If you wrestle with it too much, you'll be injured, as long as you are following God. But the best thing is to yield to it, and you gradually start seeing parts of your life being taken away. It's because there's a seed trying to form inside you. It's giving shape. It's changing your structure. It's changing your appetite. It's changing your character. It's changing your demeanor. It's changing your disposition. It's changing who you are. It's changing everything about you. It's taking form. It's taking, before you know, you have changed to another. A prophetic word is alive in the person. When you live, it will still be living and speaking and giving expression to you. But you can hear a preaching and forget, but a prophecy, you can't forget it. Even if you don't have the word in mind, you can still feel the life in the eagle's wings. So therefore, I counsel you all tonight that you are welcome to this year where you will be flying on the wings of eagles. From words and prophecies that have been spoken from time past, they are coming into fulfillment. Remember from the beginning, we said that this year will be a year of evidence. Evidence is the tangibility of what has been spoken of without proof that is demonstrable. Like they said, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You have done.
a time comes when faith will be taken away, because faith is not eternal. Faith is not an eternal arrangement. It's an intermediary arrangement between what is to be, between the hour of when something has been proposed to be and when it eventually becomes. In between it, that's where faith exists. When it happens, the faith is taken away. Some of you believed God for admission to the university. You were having faith. After the admission came, were you still believing God for admission? No, you don't believe God. You have the result. The faith just goes wherever it goes to. It doesn't exist anymore. That's why Paul said, therefore abided these three, love, faith. It doesn't last forever. Do you understand? So, but faith will be the evidence of things that we don't see. But when those things actually come, they become the evidence of themselves. Like when somebody says, where is the evidence that you have money? You show him money. The money is the evidence that there is money. So, things that have been spoken, there will be those prophetic words from time past, the mysteries revealed through scripture, even the ones that when God was speaking, nobody was listening, they'll be coming to pass. And literally, some persons will be carried on the wings of eagle to soar great heights. So see this and position yourself for this flight, for this prophetic posture and this flight. I wish I'll be able to show you some things also from the scriptures that is concerned with these kinds of experience, when one has an experience as thus. Let's round up tonight by looking at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. God was speaking about the Israelites and how that he likened it to when the eagle carried his children. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. He said, and he found him in a desert land, in the wasteland, a holy wilderness. He encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovering over his trunk, spreading out his wings, taking them up and carrying them on its wings. Do you see that God is still saying the same thing? He said it in Exodus. He's still coming here to say it in the prophecy of Moses in his song. This is because this thing is actually true. He says, so the Lord alone led him. Do you see that? That when you are in that kind of structure and you are carried like this on these wings, it is God himself leading you, because God leads through his word. And these prophetic words we are talking about is God's word being made known and revealed. May you not be seeing one prophet when I'm saying prophetic word. May you be delivered from that mindset. And may you be seeing the word of God when I'm saying prophetic in the name of Jesus. Verse 12 says, so the Lord led him, and there was no foreign God with him. Now hear this. He said, he made him to ride in the heights of the earth. Chapter 13. There's going to be the testimony for many. They will ride in the heights of the earth. That is going to be the testimony of many. For those of you in this earth that you are in, where your feet is touching the ground, you will ride in the heights. In the name of Jesus. He said, the reason why he made him ride in the earth heights was so that he would eat the produce of a field. You know what that means, right? That talks about productivity. I wouldn't be able to interpret all this means, but I pray God gives you understanding when you go back. He said, so that he can draw honey from the rock. That is pleasantness, sweetness, from where there was hardness before. For many people who are going through rocky situations, honey will come out from inside for you. You have graduated for many years and life has been hard and harsh and tough and rocky for you. watch out. This year is honey that will be coming out from that situation from you. Sweetness, pleasantness. Hear that word, out of the rock, honey will come. He said, God made him. There is an impartation that comes inside you where there is able to be a mirror, the drawing of honey from the honey will come out of that rocky situation. Honey, sweetness, pleasantness, pleasure, pleasure. You see, at the right hand of God, there are pleasures forevermore. When you say pleasure, don't see the bad one. There is the godly pleasure that they say is in the right hand of God. So, pleasure, sweetness will come out of that heart, that rocky situation. He said, even from and oil from the flinty rock. Oil talks about grace, charis. This year will be a year of grace. All these things happens because they were on the heights of the earth. The reason why they were on the high, he said that he made him ride in the heights of the earth that he might. So this is the purpose for which, and that is the purpose for which you will be soaring at this level, at this frequency. He said, cobs from the cattle and milk of the flock, nourishment, prosperity, abundance, with fats of lamb, rams of the breed of Bashan, inflow of abundance, and kalil, with the choice of wheat, so that you will drink wine, the blood of grapes. Let's stop there. All of this, I'm still showing you the prophetic things. So, set yourself and begin to see. For those of us that are joined to ministry where the theme of the year has been declared already, posture yourself to have the revelation. Don't just go and be saying it as a mantra. Position yourself so that you see that theme as a light to you. Because that is the prophetic word that came through this, the prophet over your life and over the ministry you are joined to. You can see that we didn't come and say this is the year of you. We are just giving you is the sound of the trumpet. The trumpet is just giving you mysteries and yet to help you to be able to navigate through the year prosperously. Are you listening? This generation, we have said it before, will be a generation that will be riding on the wings of eagles, riding on prophecies. Remember the last time we met in the meeting, we said prophecies born in prophecy were revealed through prophecy and will be the fulfillment of prophecies. For as many of us that didn't listen to the second teaching of the last meeting, the audios are on the platform. If you are not on the platform, you can, the admin of the channel, you can reach out to any of the admin of this channel and ask them to put you, hook you, or how was that word, to add you up, and then also share the link, because there you will see things that will, that are the, you see we are referring to them. Okay, so, and for those of you that are there, you are not in the meeting and you don't have the audio, I don't really know what you are doing. It's a sign that you don't even regard the prophetic word, but you are being delivered from that already in the name of Jesus. So get it. We said that generation born through prophecy, revealed in prophecy, and will be the fulfillment of prophecies, and are the fulfillment of prophecies. So they'll just be riding on the wings of eagles and soaring high, soaring high, soaring high. I could show you one more passage about this eagle, but I think we'll leave it here for now. And just be soaring high, soaring high, soaring high, and be going to the heights of the earth. Taking the abundance, taking honey out of the rock, oil from the flinty rock, wealth, and just flowing. And finding fulfillment of words in your life that were spoken concerning your time. All of this will take an investment on your own part, and you have to do your job and work. You are the head of the year, the rush. So sit down and order your life for the year. Strategize. Make plans. Don't start living the life and then morning, evening, night, morning, night, morning, night, and January has passed. No. Plan the year and have a structure for the year and how things will play out. Use this period to plan it. If your structure of work doesn't let you do that, you are doing it in your mind. You can take time to be doing it 2 hours of every moment of the day. In 3 days or in 3 days, you should be done. Or you can use your night season. When you wake up at night, you sit up, even if it's 30 minutes. You write it down. Don't plan it in your brain. You plan it in your brain, write it out. Write it out. Write it out. Write it out. This is the thing I will see this year. This is the things I will do this year. It's not resolution. It's planning and structuring. And the peace and the grace of God will be with you. Congratulations. This is the rush of the year. Many things are set and they will happen. Already, we are already seeing them. Greater heights for you all. In the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up all these generations that are here before you, these men and these women. Thank you for your plan and your purpose concerning their life. Thank you for the will. I ask that you open their minds to see this light and the things concerning them and help them to walk with it. In Jesus' name. While I was just praying, it just became clearer to me that is what we are even doing here. And I'm now telling you another prophetic word because it just came as I'm praying, that you should pay attention to what we are doing, because some of you are riding on the wings of the ministry that God has given to us. And this is just coming now as I just lifted up my voice to pray for you. What we are doing here, you are riding on our wings. And it's in these wings you are knowing things about yourself. You know that I'm not talking to you to add to your acumen of knowledge. If that is the purpose, I won't tell you anything. Because that is not how, when we, in our education in God, we know that that is not the purpose of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to instruct, to train, to educate, to correct, to rebuke, to set in the light, the right path for impartation, and to do for the purpose of God's word. If it's not serving any purpose more than that, it is knowledge that puffs up, is the one that destroys. God is just saying to me now, as I lift them out to pray, that they are joined to your prophetic ministry also, and they are riding, so they should pay attention and follow what's going on here. God has made this channel available. Some of you may not be able to reach me physically because of where I am. Some don't even know where I am, and some have not seen me in years. But God has created an arrangement for which you can be connected, for as many of us and of you here, that somehow your life and purpose, life has been networked by virtue of what God has committed. It's not God has arranged it to be like that so that there will be dependency. So you should be committed to what we are doing here. We are not, this, the things we are talking about is what is already playing out here. Because some of you are finding yourself clearer and seeing things clearer because you are coming back here. So already this is the eagle's wings you are on. Because you are experiencing and being carried on the wings of the manifestation of a prophetic ministry. And don't see ministry as the choice, somebody having a structure and people gathering. Be delivered from that mentality. When I say prophetic ministry, is the operation of God's word through a man. The handling of the word of God and how the word of God decides to manifest himself through a man. So that's what when I say prophetic ministry, don't say, so he has a prophet. That's not what I'm saying. May you be delivered from that mentality. I'm saying that there is the expression and the word of God is giving expression to Jesus like this way to a man. And some of you have been carried on these wings and have been carried for a very long time, that in this revelation and light, you are seeing yourself. So pay attention to what is going on. When we are doing things, be part of it. Don't be lackadaisical about it or nonchalant. Don't play with it. Some of you, your entire destiny is connected here. Take it or leave it. And that was the way it was with Samuel and Saul. Your end is connected here. The word that will set you at liberty is here. The word that will give you. You know, if God wants to deliver a man, he will change how he thinks. I said to somebody some time ago, I said, new information will always lead to new ways of thinking. And new ways of thinking will lead to innovation, transformation, and invention. Let me say it again. New information will always lead to new ways of thinking. And new ways of thinking will lead to innovation, transformation, and invention. Some of you, the word of God that will change how you will start thinking is going to come through this platform. Some of you say, hey, when they call, you come join one day. You don't, this, we are not playing here. Nobody is playing here. And I spoke with some of the people that the leaders and folk, I was telling them in this light. I said, the weight of the apostolic grace of God that is being made manifest here is able to power a generation and even generations to come. I know the grace and I know the scope of it, not the boundary, the scope. You know, boundary means you are seeing the edge. Scope means you are seeing how what is possible within it, the scope of it. And I said to them, I said, but the grace chose to reveal itself like this. Some persons, and we could have gone, say, let's get this, let's start. But the grace say, start, open a WhatsApp platform. That is the grace. You can't do beyond what the grace wants to do. But because he said the grace wants to come through WhatsApp, it doesn't reduce it. Jesus was the king of all the earth. But he said, a carpenter will be my father and I will be born in animal house. It didn't reduce him from being God. So you don't judge a seed by how it looks. You judge it by what is inside. The man of God, Miles Monroe, has wisely said that you can count how many seeds are in a fruit, but you will never be able to count how many fruits are inside the seed. And it is so. Some of you, your word is here. Be serious with what is going on here. So this is coming now as I lifted up to pray for you. So you know when you want to lift your voice to pray and God drops an instruction, he says, this one is not, tell this one is what they should know. So there are some of you, if we had a real life structure on the terrain, we have a meeting, a structure where we hold meetings, gather. Some of you travel all the way from Lukogoma to come and hold be part of weekly service. But it has been made so easy that you can even be lying sitting down in your bedroom and be joined to weekly service. But because it's like that, you say, you are doing yourself. So this is the eagle's wings you are on. Some of you are on it, and some are already been taken up. It's not me, I can't carry you both physically and spiritually, because God has given some of you grace. The last time I saw some of you, for those that I know in person. But it is the grace of God and the ministry that is going, that is doing stuff. So what is going on here? Make up your mind in this year to be serious in whatever is going here and take the prophetic words and apply it to yourself and see it in the eyes of God's scripture and make it personal. He said, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came to, is the one that the word of God comes to that can be upgraded to another level. So this ministry we are talking about is already playing out, is already happening to some of you. Some of you are already being set, positioned to be carried on the wings. Pay attention here. pay attention. We have times we begin to script out things and we begin to tell you things. I'd be like, oh my God, I spoke with somebody some time ago. And while I was speaking, I began to mention things and then began to explain them. It was not a meeting, we were just talking. And I was like, that's part of what I've been working on. And you just pulled it out, exactly the same phrase, and now you may explain it. I say, wow, that's amazing. Say, well, I just started talking and I sensed I had liberty to explore in that direction. So I continued. Now, it made that person's, and this is something that has to do with the person's vision for life. It made it clearer. I didn't say this, I just spoke in that light. So, this is one, you are on one already. And as many that God will bring set in your way and bring you to make contact with, when you see it, recognize it and value it and regard it. Are you listening? Jesus is Lord. So you are joined to one kind of prophetic ministry. Don't see ministry and see building and church and prophetic ministry the way you see it. I'm talking about somebody, an arrangement where the word of God, they do the ministry of God's word. It's God's word that they are searching, researching, seeking, trying to make known, understand, applying themselves to it. Yes, that's what it is. Seeking it, researching in it, looking, applying themselves to it, walking in it, loving it, seeking the God of the word, and doing the work of the word. Pay attention to it. It will change your life. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening. For as many of us that are here, the audio will be available. I know that our media people are already arranging it, making it ready. So once you get it, for those of us that are on the WhatsApp platform, it will be there. I think it will be left on the channel too. You can share it too. See, just we listen to a New Year broadcast from one channel on Telegram. Why don't you listen to it? Just listen to it when you are less busy. It will change your life. Hear what the word of God was saying. Hear it to change your life. It's not so that somebody can be. It's so that the word can. He said, "And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." It's so that the word of God can grow, right? So it's not like I make these people know. You know, you can't make anything known. It's God that makes things known. But it's so that the word of God can grow and prevail. When you do that, you are doing the ministry of the word too. Because the Bible says God gave the word, great was the company that published it. So publishing it is part of doing the ministry of the word. That is your own assignment in serving in the ministry of divine things. If you are not the one digging it up and going through the process of serving like this, let them have this kind of light, sight and understanding. Let them be aware of what God is saying and what the word of God is saying this time. Let them be aware that a voice now is speaking with God's word to them. Listen to this, it will change your life. So that people can be transformed. And that is the ministry of God's word you are doing. And the Bible says, let them that labor in the word count their word your double. You know? There's a word. The ministry of God's word. God bless you. Thank you all for being here. God bless you and reward you. Have yourself a very, very, very happy, wonderful, and very explosive New Year celebration and New Year. We'll be in touch, and these are just the beginning of great things. We'll be saying more things and speaking more things, unveiling more things to you as God is signaling them. So that for your own benefit, edification, so that you can increase in another level of height. You are being carried on the prophetic wings of the eagles. You will soar high where the eagles go. God bless you. Thank you. And the grace of God remain with you. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for this privilege. We ask that this word will remain and abide your people, and that you give them grace to be in remembrance of it and in continual attention or attentiveness to these words. To you be all the praise. To you be all the glory. Thank you, Most High God. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings and your gifts to us. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For in Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence of our God, forever and ever. Amen. Shalom. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Amen.